Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Ajamila, delivered by the Vishnu Dutas, text number 19. Yatagadam viryatamam upayuktam yadrichaya ajanatop yatma gunam koryan mantrop yad you Darita. Yata. Just like Agadam medicine. Virya Tamam. Very powerful. Upayuktam. Properly taken. Yadrichaya, somehow or another, ajanata, by a person without knowledge, api, even, atma gunam, its own potency, koryat, manifests, mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, api, also, udarita, chanted. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. If a person unaware of the effective potency of a certain medicine takes that medicine, or is forced to take it, it will act even without his knowledge, because its potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one chants knowingly or unknowingly, the chanting will be very effective. Please repeat. If a person unaware of the effective potency don't seem very convinced. Let's try it again. If a person unaware of the effective potency of a certain medicine takes that medicine or is forced to take it, it will act even without his knowledge, because its potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one chants knowingly or unknowingly, the chanting will be very effective. Purport, in the Western countries where the Hare Krishna movement is spreading, learned scholars and other thoughtful men are realizing its effectiveness. For example, Dr. J. Stilson Judah, a learned scholar, has been very much attracted to this movement because he has actually seen that it is turning hippies addicted to drugs into pure Vaishnavas who voluntarily become servants of the Lord, of Krishna, and humanity. Even a few years ago, such hippies did not know the Hare Krishna mantra, but now they are chanting it and becoming pure Vaishnavas. Thus they are becoming free from all sinful activities, such as illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. This is proof of the effectiveness of the Hare Krishna movement, which is supported in this verse. One may or may not know the value of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if one somehow or another chants it, he will immediately be purified, just as one who takes a potent medicine will feel its effects, regardless of whether he takes it knowingly or unknowingly. So the text again. Yatagadam viryatamam upayuktam yadrichaya ajanatop yatma gunam Kuryan Mantrop Yudaritaha. If a person unaware of the effective potency of a certain medicine takes that medicine or is forced to take it, it will act even without his knowledge, because its potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one chants knowingly or unknowingly, the chanting will be very much effective. There are three stages of chanting: Nama Parad, Nama Vas, and Shudanam. Here it mentions mainly Nama Vas, of which there are varieties of different types of Nama Vas, such as when the syllables are separated, or when it's included with another word like Ramo. Ramananda Inn. In America they have the Ramananda Inn. So people chant Ramananda Inn, they're also chanting the name of Ram. So of course, this is very important for ordinary people, but we can see that people are chanting Ram in so many different ways, but they're not flooding into the Hare Krishna movement. Because Namabhas can also lead either to Shudanam or to Namaparad. Namaparad means, like the Mayavadis, they chant the name, but they have a misunderstanding. There is one devotee, well, not a devotee, there is one Brahmin, his name was Ramdas, because he was always chanting the name of Ram. When Gopal Bhatt, no, Raghunath Bhatt, whose parents were pure Vaishnavas, Prabodhananda Saraswati was his uncle, another great Vaishnava. When his parents left their bodies, he went to Jagannath Puri to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And on the way, because you didn't take a bus back then, or a train, there were no airplanes, you had to walk. And it wasn't just a short little distance, padyatra. You had to walk for hundreds and sometimes thousands of kilometers. So it wasn't a one-day excursion and you went back home. If you went somewhere, you planned to stay there for some time. See, he walked to Jagannath Puri, and accompanying him, and I imagine he walked with other people also. In those days, you didn't walk by yourself, because there are other communities of personalities, dacoits and thieves and robbers and Muslims and who knows what. We're just waiting to capture a few people just wandering along the road. So generally, big parties walked along. And Kamini Raghunath Bhatt at that time was one person named Ramdas, and Ramdas was always chanting Hare Krishna. Correction. He was always chanting the name of Ram. I don't know if it was Hari Ram or just Ram Ram, Ram Ram Ram. In any case, everyone thought he was a pure Vaishnav, because who other than a pure Vaishnav is going to 24 hours a day chant the name of Ram. When Raghunath Bhatt arrived in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him very warmly. And later on, because Ramdas was always serving Raghunath Bhatt, therefore Raghunath Bhatt, although he said, you don't have to serve me because, you know, why should you do that? He said, well, I'm a Shudra, and it's my job to serve a pure Brahmin. Raghunath Bhatt accepted the service, and later on he tried to introduce him to Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya didn't pay him any special respect, because he knew that this person, Ramdas, he's chanting always the name of Ram, but he thinks he is Ram. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't give him any special attention. The worst is to chant, the worst kind of chanting is Nama Parat. Inattentive chanting, in one sense, falls under the sphere of Nama Parat, because it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that instead of growing the Bhakti Lata Bij that comes to the lotus feet of Krishna, inattentive chanting actually waters the weeds. In other words, wherever our attention goes, our energy flows. So if we're putting our attention on material things, then our desire to obtain those material things will actually increase. So if we're trying to focus our attention, but it winds up focusing on material things, then the result is that we become more and more implicated in material activities, although seemingly we're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Prabhupada in the Krishna book writes that the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention and giving one's love to Krishna. So that's material life also. That's how we're engaged in material activities. Satsanga by, because satsanga means spiritual association, but sangat sanjayate, by our association. By our association with our own personal minds, or if we associate with other people's minds and activities, that will also influence our mind and activities. So, if we're thinking about something, the super soul within our heart, he reciprocates. It's not that the super soul is asleep and that during Chaturmasya, when we have 4 months, we can do anything or think of anything we want and we get away with it. Previous ages, if people just thought something, they get the reaction for it. Therefore, people were rather more disciplined in previous ages, because it was, if you got the reaction for something just by thinking about it, you probably would be a little more cautious. Of course, they didn't have the problem of having an internet or a mass distribution of books. You couldn't have your private collection of magazines. And when no one was looking, you started to look at your magazines. But the super soul is also looking. He's not reading the magazine though. He's watching the person read the magazine. In any case, in this age, we have so many distractions. If we got the reaction to everything we thought, all we look around, the whole society would be just little piles of dust, of ashes. Everyone would have already been burnt by their sinful activities. Therefore, in this age, there's a compensation that even if we think about something, we don't get the reaction to it. We actually have to perform the activity. But our every thought is actually a prayer. In other words, our communication with the super soul is by our thoughts. Now, if we're thinking about Krishna, then we're communicating in a spiritual way with Krishna, the super soul. And if we're thinking about something else, we're also communicating with the super soul, that this is the desire I want. Actually, desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the living entity. It's not our thoughts that are coming through our minds. We didn't create them. They're the reactions for our previous activities. As when we left our previous body, along with the soul carries his mind, intelligence, and ego with him. And when he gets his new body, his old desires, since time immemorial, accompany him. Therefore, these desires, under certain circumstances, arise, and we have a choice. We can become attached to them, a desire, kama, kami, to fulfill them, or we can remain aloof from them. Apuryamanam achala patishtam samudram apapavishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pavishanti sarve sa shantim apnoti na kama kami. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into an ocean, which is always being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. So when we think these thoughts are my thoughts, then we become implicated in simply identification. And we become further implicated when we actually desire to fulfill those desires. Then we actually get the full reaction, the full results of those thoughts. But we have the choice. When we find out there are thoughts, which are, we can also get Krishna conscious thoughts. That's why we have classes. So that we can come to think about Krishna. We can learn how to think about Krishna. And when we learn how to think about Krishna, then we get the opportunity to actually do something to serve Krishna. We're not only trying to serve, think about Krishna, we're trying to learn how to utilize our bodies, our minds, our words, our identification in Krishna's service. And when we accept that, that's called devotional service. And when we think about Krishna as a result of that, that's called Krishna consciousness. And the result is that we simply get Krishna. We don't get the results of our activities. Now, of course, one who has faith in this body, one who has faith in material life, that I'm going to make a happy solution here, I'm going to live a long, long time, I'm going to have a lot of happiness for my material existence, and I'm going to learn expertly how to gratify my desires and senses, then Krishna consciousness is very difficult to cultivate. Because Krishna consciousness and material desires are exactly the opposite. One covers our consciousness and the other uncovers our consciousness. Now, fortunately, the holy name in this age is so powerful that if we can just chant it and try to make some attempt to listen and to chant to Krishna, because if we don't chant to Krishna, then who are we chanting for? If we think it's just some name, like a parrot's chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Paliwana Krishna, Paliwana Krishna. As Prabhupada said that at the time of death, we were chanting like a parrot, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then we're not going to be able to chant the holy name when there's some difficulty. So we have to learn the art of actually chanting to Krishna. And not only that, chanting to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, but asking them for their engaging their loving service. So love may be a word which is far away from us. What does it mean, love? Oh, I love you, Krishna. It's not some sentimental emotion, love. Oh, I love you, Krishna, and if you give me everything I want, I'll continue to love you. And if you don't give me anything I want, then I don't know, we got to talk about this. So that's not really love. Love is, goes on under any circumstance. Love is actually selfless. But even if we can't manifest the sentiment of love, at least we can try to do our service attentively and carefully. And with some kind of enthusiasm. This is how some of the ways we can show our love in this, by in devotional service. And even chanting, we have an opportunity to chant in so many ways. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I can't wait till I get my rounds done. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, it's taking too long. Or we can chant Hare Krishna. Ram, 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 hey, Ram. There's many rites. Oh, we can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Mary had a little lamb. Ram, Ram, Ram. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We can chant in so many different ways. So it's not like, well, I have no love for Krishna, so I'm just going to chant my rounds and get him done with. Hare Rama, Rama. doesn't really matter. No one knows. Stay, yesterday I chanted my rounds. I got no effect. Today I'm going to also chant my rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Ram. Ram, Ram, Ram. Hey, Ram, Ram, Ram. Ram, Ram, Ram. Hey, Ram, Ram. Ram, Ram, Ram. Hey, Ram, Ram, Ram. Hey, 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 Ram, Ram. This Hare Krishna mantra doesn't work. If it worked, then I would have been God conscious. I've been chanting so many of these Ram, Schnick, Schnick, Ram, Ram, Day, 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 Hey, Hey, Hey. So we actually have to take it seriously and try to chant to get an effect, to experience the effect. The effect is there, even amidst of all the Day, Day, Ram, Ram. There's a Ram at least in there. So there's something, but as I said yesterday, we should try to get as close to the heat, as close to the fire as possible. We want to feel the maximum amount of heat. So therefore we have our philosophy that teaches us how to live life in such a way as that we become prepared to accept our relationship with Krishna. Krishna is already eternally, he accepts our relationship with him. The question is whether we want to accept ourselves and in a relation with Krishna. The fact, of course, we have to accept that there is a Krishna. And the way we do that is we follow his instructions. And there are many instructions dealing with how to use the body, how to think, how to feel, how to see things, how to surrender. So we have to accept some instructions and see that we're making, getting a little closer to the fire. And that will encourage us to get even closer, because the result of even a little advancement is that a lot of anxiety is taken away. Of course, for those who want to get rid of their anxiety, they forget who is actually their benefactor. One day, Srila Prabhupada was walking with Bhavananda Prabhu in New Vrindavan. And for those who have ever been to New Vrindavan, which I guess... Has anyone here ever been to New Vrindavan? Yes. It's quite hilly. The hills are alive in New Vrindavan. So, Bhavananda Prabhu was helping Srila Prabhupada up a hill in New Vrindavan. And when they finally got to the top, Prabhupada took Bhavananda's hand and threw it away and said, I don't need you anymore. Go away. So Bhavananda was shocked. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, this is like the Mayavadis. They say, give me your help, dear guru. Let me help me up to spiritual realization. And when they become self-realized, when they become Brahman-realized, they throw the guru away. I don't need you anymore. I'm already God. What do I need you for? They do that during Durga Puja in India. Have you ever go to? Has anyone ever been to Calcutta during Durga Puja? There's a tape of Prabhupada in Calcutta during Durga Puja, and they're singing this song, a famous movie, I think. The hills are alive with the sound of music. You've heard that? The hills are alive with the sound of music. A sound that is heard in 1,000 years or something. Whatever. And in India, they not only have a little amplification, they have so much amplification that your brain is rocked. It's like when they blow the conch shell, everyone kind of covers their ears. Very enthusiastic conch shell blower. But there it's 1,000 times more because they have these speakers set up to rattle everyone's brain. So not only you have to hear but the sound, whatever is emanating, but you can't hear anything else. You can't even hear your own mind. Your whole head is shaking in the same vibration. Your head is practically vibrating in the sound. So they were singing for worshiping Durga, and at the end of Durga Puja, they take the deity that they worship for 7 days or whatever, and they take her and throw her into the ocean in gratitude for all her benedictions she's giving them. So if we chant without any appreciation, without any acknowledgement of the persons who are giving us the instructions of how to chant, then it's very difficult to actually come beyond a certain conception of life. Because spiritual life means appreciation. It means gratitude. Without that, if, you know, thanks a lot, Krishna, for giving me the benediction. Now I'm free from distress. I don't need you anymore. Or now, Krishna, now you've given me the benediction. Then now I have all of my resources I need to live happily in the material world. I don't need you anymore. Now, thank you, dear Krishna. Now I know everything, how to act in the material world to benedict myself and others. So I don't need you anymore. Or now I'm situated in Brahman realization. I don't need you, Krishna. I don't need anyone. I'm God. So this kind of ungratitude will keep one at whatever level one who's had the unfortunate desire to achieve without coming to any higher level other than that. So, therefore, accepting of Krishna means to also accept and appreciate everyone who's helping us make spiritual advancement. That's culture. Therefore, in the Vedic culture, everyone is honored. All the teachers are honored. Arjuna didn't want to fight against his teachers because that's part of the culture. Anyone who offers any service, Devarsha Bhutatman Rinin Pitrinam Nikinkaro Nanya Rinam Pitrinam Sarvatmana Yaksharnam Sharanya Kato Mukundam Naseva Yaiva. That the Devas, Devarsha, Rishis of Rishis, Bhutas, other living entities, one is obligated to show them some appreciation, at least, if not service. If one becomes Krishna conscious, then naturally one gives appreciation to everyone, because one sees everyone as an instrument for Krishna. Even one's enemy, one will be able to appreciate. Just like there was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. There was one critic. He was always criticizing whatever Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada did. It was the object of his criticism. And all his disciples hated this person. Practically they were praying that he died. And then one day, he died. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, his disciples enthusiastically came and told him, now this rascal has died who's always criticizing him. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada started to cry. He said, he was my best friend. So for an ordinary materialist, how is he his best friend? Because in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's vision, he was keeping him humble. So, if we don't see things in relation to Krishna, then we'll see things according to our imagination. And the result is we won't be able to appreciate how Krishna is helping us in so many different ways to make spiritual advancement, how he's trying to help us. And therefore we'll lack appreciation of the persons that we're dealing with. And if we lack appreciation with the persons we're dealing with, then we'll commit offenses against them. And the result is our spiritual advancement will be very slow. The holy name may have its effect, but Bohu Janma Shravana Kari, what is that? Bohu Janma Kari Shravana Kirtana. We can go on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for millions of years, but if we're infected with the 10 offenses, then we won't get the result, which is love of God. Yes, we'll get a little bit above the material nature. We'll get a little relief from our sufferings. We may get some material benedictions, but we won't get Krishna consciousness. which is the aim of chanting. Therefore, we have to learn how to show gratitude, not only to one devotee or two devotees, we have to learn how to show gratitude towards all the devotees, at least, and then we can begin to see how everyone in this world is actually under Krishna's directions and working actually to help us make spiritual advancement to becoming Krishna conscious. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
How can we, like, if there are some things that have to be improved, like judge the action but not the actor? How can we, like, practice this, that we have still respect towards others?
Well, first of all, the first thing that should be improved is our consciousness. So if we're not conscious of the fact that we should improve our consciousness, then what is the sense of improving everyone else in some way? That ultimately everything depends upon our consciousness, but our consciousness depends upon following the orders of Guru Sadhana Shastra in a way that brings us to the platform of love for Krishna. Otherwise, if we were even in Krishna Leela, it said that the gopis were so much in love with Krishna that they began to churn the river Jamuna to get milk from it. So we were walking by and we say, "Hey girls, you're all crazy. You're not going to get any milk from the river Jamuna. Why don't you just get some milk and try to churn that?" And Krishna, but what was Krishna's reaction when he saw the gopis churning the river Jamuna to get milk? Because of love of God, they were so much absorbed, they became crazy. So he became so maddened in ecstasy that he began to milk a bull. So that would be subject to our criticism also. He's God, he knows everything. Doesn't he know you're not supposed to milk a bull? Brahma came and he saw Krishna. In his left hand, he had sweet rice and some yogurt. He has yogurt and some pieces of fruit salad. So, any cultured person in the Vedic culture, he knows you're supposed to put food in your right hand. And here is God, he's so bewildered, he's putting it in his left hand. So what would Brahma think? Oh, this couldn't be God. He must at least know he should put the food in his right hand. But Krishna can do what he wants, and anyone who criticizes him gets into trouble. When Brahma ran after his daughter, because his daughter was exquisitely beautiful, and he became attracted to her, and Brahma ran after her, then some of the sons of Marichi, one of the sons of Brahma, looked on Brahma's activity with abhorrence. And you may think, well, it's just normal. You're not supposed to run after your daughter. Especially you're supposed to be the head of the universe. And obviously people are going to be affected by it. So these sons of Marichi, one of Brahma's sons, looked on it with abhorrence. But the result was they had to take birth as the sons of Hiranyakashipu and be killed one after another. So that's not a good idea. In other words, we should be trying to improve things. Yes, we should try to improve things, but we should have the right attitude in doing it. Things always have to be improved, but we have to be careful that we may not be the best one to tell people how to improve. So that depends upon our relationship with them. If they look at us as an authority and they're anxious to find out our advice how to improve things, then we can certainly, according to our ability, give it to them in a humble way as an instrument for the spiritual authorities. That we may have improved our service because we did it as a servant of other authorities who were much better than we were, or are, and therefore working under the guidance we make some improvement, and therefore we can help others if they want to make the same kind of improvement, if that's what they want. But if we go around giving our advice freely to everyone, you know, I am so expert at this, you should take my advice and surrender to me, then we'll simply probably get into conflict with people. And it won't help them and it won't help us. So we have to be, when we see improvement, that's Krishna telling us something. But then we have to ask Krishna, I want to help, I want to serve in your mission, I want to things improve, I want to things get better, please give me the intelligence how to do it in such a way that I do it with humility, I do it with feeling, I do it with as a service to you and to your authorities, and I do it in such a way that it's effective. Then we'll be able to improve ourselves and improve others in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, and things will go on even better. Is that all right? Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. I like the point that you said that when we think, we're also talking with Super Soul. In thoughts, we're talking with Super Soul. In what way Super Soul communicates with us, gives answers?
Well, thoughts are a kind of prayer. So Krishna reciprocates with our existence. We're getting our existence is the answer to our prayers. It may not be immediately he answers every prayer, but just like if you're trying to, the bees, they go to different flowers and they get little bits of pollen and they come back to the beehive and then they make honey out of all the different little bits of pollen that they got. And then eventually someone comes along, it gets some of that honey and tastes it. So the taste of the honey is accumulation, is the result of all the different little bits of pollen that were accumulated. So similarly, our present existence is the result of our accumulated thoughts and activities from the past lives, past activities. And therefore, according to what we do now, thinking, whatever thoughts we accept, because it's not just a question of thinking, it's also a question of accepting the thoughts, of dovetailing our desires with those desires, and then feeling about them, which is greater absorption, and then willing, desiring to carry out with our senses. So according to that, then we start adding to the, it's another little bit of pollen we're adding on to the future honey we're going to have to taste. Is that clear?
I didn't understand the analogy.
Well, we're thinking, we're thoughts, they're coming, we accept it. Right? Some thought, I want to get out of here, I want to walk out of here. So we accept that thought. Now Krishna was in the heart, he's noting that, that's our prayer. Now we deserve, according to what we deserve and desire, now we have a material body that can walk out of here. So Krishna says, all right, tells the material nature, he wants to walk out of here, just walk his body out of here. But by doing that, if it's not in Krishna consciousness, then we're also adding a little bit to our karma. We're getting the results of our karma, but we're also adding to it. So in the future, we'll have to get the reaction to it. Say you stepped on an ant on the way out, then it's noted that you stepped on the ant on the way out, and this is added to your karma. So in the future, you may not be able to walk out of here in a future lifetime. You may not deserve to do it because you, by walking out of here, say you kick someone on the way out. So then in the future, when you're sitting there, someone walking out will kick you. So it's all being recorded. It's all being, you know, arranged. So in the future, whatever we're doing at this present moment is added to our collection of activities from the past. So we're going to get another existence on that basis. Another material body, another material life with other different material activities in it and different thoughts, etc. But if we hear from Krishna or from his representatives, and then we act on that basis, then we're not responsible for what we're doing, and gradually the reactions to our material activities will wind down, and then when we become fully Krishna conscious, then we won't either be faced with other material circumstances or be attached to them or involved in them, but we'll just be involved in Krishna with whatever we're doing, rather than our past thoughts and desires and activities. Is that clear?
So if I understand, we have thoughts, and these thoughts that are Krishna conscious, if we accept, we don't have any karma from it, if we work on it. But if we accept thoughts that are not in Krishna consciousness, they may come, but we still have to choose. And if we choose them, Krishna sees that.
Whatever thought we choose. We may reject one thought, but another thought will come. We have to do something. Mm-hmm. So therefore, some thought may come in the mode of ignorance. I want to kill this person. The next thought, well, maybe that's not a good idea. I got to wait till later. And then another thought comes, well, I want to enjoy. And we think, well, maybe this is not a good thought either. Maybe I should wait for later for that too. And then I want to appreciate. I want to be nice. All right, I'll accept that thought. But that's also karma. It's karma in the mode of goodness, or karma in the mode of passion, or activities in the mode of ignorance. And then we get the results for that. Everything we're doing is completely... Krishna is aware of every single thought, every single experience we're having, every single desire, and that's being accumulated to form our future experiences and desires. But if we're Krishna conscious, we're chanting Hare Krishna sincerely, trying to do devotional service sincerely, then we're not responsible for what we're doing. Instead, we're becoming more conscious of Krishna, will reveal himself more and more, and we'll get out of the material concepts of life, and we won't be implicated further in any kind of material activities. Is that clear?
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Gurandharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.